But the topic here is MDI. And so I want to take just a minute about Monolithic Dome Institute. Monolithic Dome Institute grew out of the fact I wanted to teach people how to build domes. And if I said I wanted them to come to Monolithic Constructors, that didn't sound nearly as impressive as Monolithic Dome Institute. Monolithic Dome Institute, I tried twice to turn it over to the people that build domes. And each time it failed because it's not truly like an association of polyurethane foam contractors. The Polyurethane Foam Contractors Association has gone broke about three times. They've restarted, but they got a lot of money and a lot of members. And if I charged a lot of money, then my members disappeared. And so we tried it. It flat didn't work because it needs more nurturing. Now I'm hoping that one of these days, then I'll get a bunch of guys in the room. I'll just say, "Mike, daggone Dave, I don't want anything more to do with you. We're going to start our own association." And that'll be my happy day. In the meantime, I'm using the Monolithic Dome Institute to try and promote and teach and be as nonpartisan as I possibly can. Now, you throw rocks at me, I might dump you off my website. But basically, you got to get out in left field. Now, I do watch the website and the bulletin board pretty carefully, because it's amazing how many people want to commandeer your bulletin board and sell all kinds of stuff. Some X-rated and some other stuff. So what I've offered is, if you're a dome builder and you want to be listed on my website as a dome builder, I'll list you. I'm going to charge you $50 a year. Now why? Because I had all kinds of people wanted to be listed that had nothing to do with dome building. There are carpenters and all kinds of folks. When you charge them 50 bucks, they disappear. And so, and I still will not do it if I find out that you're an electrician in Mobile, Alabama, and all you want to do is just get to more people. Another cheap advertising. 50 bucks a year is cheap advertising. The idea of the Institute is that we run a bulletin board. That's one of the most helpful devices that I can imagine. People get on there and they talk to each other and they interact, they give. So if you've not been on a bulletin board, you're missing a whole bunch of what we're talking about. There are people that start their house and they go from A to Z talking about it. When we get through with these slides, we're going to have Mr. Wortman, Keith Wortman. He wants to take some time to talk about his travel to his dome home. Well, it will not surprise me at all that he'll have either a bulletin board of thing of his own, or he'll have a web of his own, and he'll show you all of the neat, wonderful things that you can learn by doing it yourself. It also gives me a chance to help with schools and with government bodies, because I'm talking for a lot more people than just me. I run one crew, one small crew. Now, why do I even run one crew? It's because they stay good. They stay good at what they're doing, and I use them to teach the classes. The other jobs I refer out. Most of them I refer to Randy and Andrew, because they've got the horsepower to build the bigger domes and the stuff. I build in Texas. I send the rest of them all over. That way I get to sleep in Texas a lot of the time. Now I still travel to places. We've got some people here from Sudbury, Canada. They want to build a church up there. I feel very responsible that they get the church that they want to build. And so I'll spend time making sure that they get it. I'll send Randy and Andrew up there to build it. And but I don't want to start a business in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. It's a fine place, nice people, but I like being down here where they look at your snowmobile and say, "What's that thing?" Okay, what I'd like to do is go through these slides, and I can tell you about a lot of the things that are involved in the slides. Now, you're going to see that quite a few of the slides are just two slides to a project. There's hundreds of slides. Those slides are on that image CD. And so if you want the rest of the pictures, you're going to have to buy that image CD. There's 800 in the last 2.5 years that we've put in there on that. This slide right here tells a huge story. I had a friend draw that up for me. I asked him, I said, "Can you make me a cartoon like that?" And I see it so often. And you see it so often. You talk to the school board, and the school board says, "I can't be bothered with new ideas, so I'm going to do it the same old way." Now, you and I'd look at this and say, "Boy, that's a stupid king going out there with his sword when he could have a machine gun." And we have a lot of that in what we're doing. And there's another say that I use a lot is you got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find a prince. And you're going to find that in what we're doing. You wind up kissing a lot of frogs. This is our cartoonist. I had a young lady working for me, and I said, "I want a funny cartoon showing a dome," and she showed what happens when a tornado hits a dome. What you're seeing there is the after effects of a tornado, and that after effects of the tornado came and hit my office. And the only reason I don't show you a picture of the office is it looked just exactly the same afterwards as it did before. It broke the power pole off, but then it went over to the neighbor's place. In his writing arena, you can see there isn't a 2-foot piece of... you can see that it tore it up big time. We've had some houses also hit. Buffalo, Missouri. A lady had a dome, monolithic dome home in Buffalo, Missouri. Was hit by a major tornado. I asked her how she felt about it, and she said it was fascinating. She says, "I'm looking out at the window, and I can see it coming. And it's coming across my field, coming to the house." She says, "We all stepped out of the view of the window when it came and just smashed into the house, went over the house, went through her farmyard, up over a hill, and into town." And she said, "It tore one little piece of wood trim off the window on the house and went into town and killed 13 people. Never blew out the windows." One of the things I preach a lot is keep your windows 3 foot wide. Build 2 of them if you want 6 foot wide. Build 8 of them if you want. The tornadoes, if it's got a 2x4 coming in it, and you're standing in front of the window looking at it and it impales you, it's your fault. If you'll step to the side, you won't get hurt. And the thing that's also fun about tornadoes and hurricanes, they tend to blow buildings down, implode them, or they get inside and explode them and blow them off. The monolithic dome couldn't care less whether you get the wind in, out, or wherever. There is not enough pressure to hurt it. And when you see real pressure, I'm going to show you a slide here in a minute where we covered up 3 domes with a D8 cat. And you just imagine the pressure that a D8 cat has running over the top of the house, rattling along as it goes. Go ahead. Brick, 2x4. Now, I've shot mine with a fully jacketed .30-06 several times, and you can knock a hole about 1 out of 10 times with the .30-06 if you're straight on, perfectly square with it. If you got any angle whatsoever, it will go off. I shot some of my other buildings there, and if you look, I'll show you. If you think I'm going to get in that much trouble with my wife. You're wrong. Now, if you look at my website, you'll see an article in there by a soldier from Iraq, and he talks about shooting at one of the domes there with their gunships, their helicopter gunships, and he said we'd shot many, many times before we finally were able to penetrate the dome. And there's another picture over there where they hit one of the domes with a 5,000-pound JDAM. A 5,000-pound JDAM is a big bomb. It knocked a hole in the top, made him a new skylight, went off inside, destroyed all of the furnishings, all the liner, never hurt the dome. They just cleaned it out and became a British headquarters. Andrew and Randy, I don't think they came in here, but Randy's a nut with dynamite. He just loves to play with dynamite. And he has a little dome up there in the crater. It's about an 18-foot diameter. And he set off a stick of dynamite right next to it, just right up there next to it. Boom. Threw some dirt, did some good. And then the next thing you know, they put two sticks of dynamite. Finally, when they got up to seven, they were able to knock a small hole through the dome. Okay, here's aftermath of a tornado. Here's an underground house. This is down on the by Presidio, Texas. You can see the man standing there. This is a 15-foot. The furthest one back there is 30-foot. And what it is multiple domes with those chimneys, light chimneys. They're painted real bright white inside, and they put a skylight on top of them. Over here, we ran the air through a duct underneath and into the rooms so that it would cool the air coming into the dome. There's no electricity. If you want the air movement, you just raise the side of the skylight and it sucks the air through the ground. When they got done, they put this all back to the tops of those pipes. You see these head walls are built so that the dirt doesn't come over into the driving area. But we're talking about 2,000 pounds per square foot of load. A force 5 tornado puts about 400 pounds per square foot. So this is a projected payoff for this original church at Maranatha. They figure in 13 years, their energy savings paid for it. Dr. Wilson showed you this dome. You can see the pile of a block up on there. They had to do that because mommies wouldn't let their kiddies go play in that pool, dome. They had to permit, but they got so many phone calls down at headquarters that they said, you got to test it. So that's what they did. But last year, they decided to remove it because the land had got so valuable, they wanted to tear it down and replace it with some condos. Now, this is a big dome. And you can see where they've actually crashed through and broke into the rebar, and they started around that dome. And I've got two or three pictures of here. You can see how much of that dome they opened up using that 5,000-pound ball on the end of that. Now, can you imagine the concussion that happened every time they hit that thing? They weakened it and weakened it and weakened it and concussed it, and then, of course, they finally dropped it. But it just shows that they're stronger than even anything you can think of. This is a home in California. This huge fire burned right up over the top of the home. It burned the vines off of the home, and it smoked up the inside. They had to clean it up, but other than that was it. Now, we talked about the secret gardens. There's our 314. Here's another picture out at Morgan Road where we have the 48. A lot of homes have been built in the domes. They can be built, sky's the limit. Rick talked about sky shell homes. This is a scene inside the home. It looks like it's a street scene in Mexico, doesn't it? You walk through that thing and I remember whether you go in the bedroom or the kitchen. This guy is in Pensacola. It's been national news several times because They had a TV crew sit there through Hurricane Ivan. They went to bed in the house and went to sleep because there was nothing exciting for them to do. The house on the right was gone the next morning. The house, two houses on the left were gone. I mean, they weren't just seriously damaged. The only thing sticking out of the ground was the sticks. Most of the island was decimated. Looking out from his house was the ocean, and then there was an island out there, a little barrier island. After this went through, the barrier island was gone. And then a few months later, Katrina came and tail swiped it and put the island back. And now this is Randy's home in Manan. This is on a volcanic butte that he has. This, you can build all kinds of things. You'll see this tomorrow. This is my home. This is a place down at Belize. It's a place to go. I'm sitting a little too close, aren't I? This is a place in Belize where the guy rents these to tourists to go down there. Well, they had a huge hurricane. It kind of reshuffled the straw up on top of that dome. It saved lives. These people were safe. And every other habitation on the island was destroyed by that hurricane. Here's one over in Kenya. We trained an Australian crew. The Australian crew took this to Kenya, and these guys hand-built, now that's a 20-foot dome. They built a bunch of them. Now here, you can see them building a 40-foot dome. Now, for some reason, it looks taller than it really is, but they built a 40-foot dome. It was a copper airform. They're putting it on by hand. I bet I had a heart attack when I realized they weren't closing. They're making ladders out of the rebar. I like to have them totally closed in the circles, but they built several buildings, clinics and other things, and then they took and loaned their airforms to the Sudan, and some of the people in the Sudan have built them. But you can see they can do it, and they can do it by hand. Here's another project where they came to our place. They learned how to build the eco shell. That's what this is. In Hyderabad, India, each one of those has 6 apartments in it. And you and I think, oh, man. But each apartment is about 35 square meters, 350 square feet. And they're luxury units for them. And the buildings are 5 feet apart. And they've got 4,000 of them drawn on their paper where they're going. Here's another dome home, 20 foot, in Haiti. A crew from Indiana came down and we trained them how to go build it. And they went over to Haiti. And they hired a local guy that had been building mud huts to build it. He said, this is a lot easier than a mud hut. Now, I'm going to show you some domes, just different places, Georgia. This one's a little louder than I would do, but this one is a multi-generational house. There's 3 generations and I think 8 families that live in this thing, and they just love it. Now, this looks a little bit like Mr. Wortman's place, doesn't it? Yeah. This is in Colorado. I loved his view from inside. There's all kinds of things that you can do with them. Now, you got to be a little resourceful. You want to shower against that dome wall, you're going to have to figure out how to curtain it. But it looks pretty slick to me. Here's one in Arizona where they've got the solar cells. I love the idea that we're all trying to get free of Ma Bell and the power company, but it's hard to do. Can you see the Hobbit house? Isn't that a cute little house? It's what you want. You can build anything you want. Burying it doesn't mean squat to it. Only thing of it is, it's hard to meet code with buried houses. So you'll want to really think them out before you jump into a buried house. It's hard to meet code with them because you have to have that second exit from the bedrooms. I love this guy's cedar. Golly, it's pretty. Here's one that made the architectural journals. There was an architect in New York that built this for his house. It's really a pretty house. As you can see, it's got a good view, or at least it has the possibilities of a good view. This is my friend John Pragowski built this one. Pragowski lives in Poland, Belk, Poland, and he built that. He came here, worked for me for a while. This lady also lives in New York. Again, some of them look more like hobbit houses. Some of them looks like a helmet, doesn't it? This one is a 40 and a 36. And this is two domes of what the guy's going to wind up with. One is, the blue one is the bedroom, and the green one is the kitchen of his house. He just uses them a couple of months out of the year. Beautiful homes. Now, this ugly looking thing is ugly because you can't see it finished. And I don't know how I'll show you a picture of it finished, because it's going to be totally buried. In fact, you can see that he's got a, this is actually a window into the lower floor, and then here's the main floor, and you'll walk up to it, and it'll all be totally buried when it gets done. And the guy's having all kinds of fun. Andrew, whose house is that? Sure, a lousy looking dome. This thing, on your slideshow, you've got a whole flock of slides of the inside of that home. It is spectacular. There's another one of Randy's home. Now this one is a half of a torus. What's a torus? A torus is a donut or bagel. And this one's a half a torus. I'm not very thrilled with total toruses, unless you're building them for nuclear fallout shelters or something, because it really sounds sexy to say, well, I'm going to have the dome all the way around, and I'm going to have a swimming pool in the middle. But if you need to service a swimming pool with anything bigger than a bucket, you got to pack it through the living room to do it. You know? If you need to bobcat through there, well, you better figure out which doors are coming out so you can get it through. But this is a gorgeous home. Here's one that we're kind of proud of, this gal. These are an artificial rock, and she put them on herself. She wanted that look, and she went to work and did them. This is looking out from that house. Now we've got some, this is a Hinton Coliseum. Now one of the fun things about the domes is they kind of like infections. Once you can get them started in an area, they keep growing. This is in Oklahoma. We finished six domes in Oklahoma, six schools, and we've got two that Andrew's working on right now, and one at Dibble and one at Geronimo. And they've just barely slopped over the border now into Kansas. It looks like we'll start doing some up in Kansas. But isn't that a gorgeous facility? Way less money than a conventional building. In fact, the first one of these I built was in Arizona, and they figure we build it for half. And this one here at Beggs, this is the classroom dome, and this is their event center. This is the one they figured they saved $60,000 in energy last year. That is a huge amount. If you start to studying, you can expect energy costs to compound at 3 to 6 to 10% over the next 20 years. 3% is the minimum that I've seen any place. You start compounding at 3%, pretty soon you're serious money. We're going to go see this one tomorrow. This is the Italy. This is one up in Missouri. Superintendent showed up with one of these things, and he said, I want this. So we built it for him. But they have what they call Davis-Bacon wages, which are quite high. So he says, what I want you to do is hire my guys and to build it. And so they didn't have to. They were on school payroll. And so we built these classrooms and that gymnasium. This is one Andrew just finished. It looks a lot prettier in this now, but this is the only slide I have. And this is a children's reading center. It's a charter school in Florida. And you can see it's multiple domes. Multiple domes have many huge advantages. You see, when most schools, most commercial buildings, what we do is we just keep making them bigger and bigger and bigger because we're putting less surface area to the world and we have less heat loss. We don't care. There isn't enough heat loss out of a dome to count. So we can build multiple domes and tailor them for the uses and cut out a lot of hall space that the other buildings don't have. And it saves a ton of money, and you can, what goes on in one is not affected in the other. If you got the band playing Warp 10 in the one dome, the other dome, they don't even know that it's over there practicing.
Is that red fabric or some kind of coating?
It's a copper fabric. It's I don't know, it sure shows red here, but it's copper colored. If you look at it on my screen, it's in the fabric. Now, the heavy fabric that we use for the commercial projects, we expect 25 to 30 year life before you have to do any maintenance on it. But we would really ask you to wash it once in a while. The Emmett School I built 25 years ago, they've never washed. And I talked to the new superintendent one day, and she said, well, we're kind of tired the way it looks. And I said, for crying out loud, go wash it. You know, it isn't rocket science. Even your car looks pretty nasty after 25 years. here's a school called Locust Grove. This is inside of it. This is the Performing Arts Center in Gainesville, Texas. This one cost $350 a square foot when it was all finished up. And that just really bugged me. But you can see it is pretty spectacular. The stage rotates. And I was talking to the president of the of this college here, and North Central College. And I said, man, I wish we could have done something about your $350. And he says, Dave, quit your fussing. You saved us over 50% of the previous design. He said, we couldn't afford the previous one. But as you can see, it's pretty high dollar stuff. This is up in Red Shirt. I think that's South Dakota. It's on the Red Shirt Indian Reservation or right there by it. It's the only slide I have of it because Pontiac Williams, this is a school up in eastern Missouri. St. Joe's of Texas. And as you can see, we really come into these a lot. Now this one, you can see it, School of Communication Arts. Let me show you what's inside. These guys are studying how to make movies. That's what it's for. We have one group in India that say they're going to build a brand new Bollywood in India. In fact, I was down there last year meeting with them, and they're buying 500 acres to do it. Have you any idea how hard it'd be to buy 500 acres in Bombay, India? He said they have 600 owners that they have to deal with. Here's a little football get cleaned up area. This is their Trinidad gymnasium. This is the newest design we've done in schools. I really, really like it. It's modular. We're going to push the modules much heavier. Instead of just trying to put everything in one building, like it's been traditional, we want to put them in modules. Now, you can see this module is for basketball. The previous design they had them up around $6.5 million. This came in at $4 million or $440 million, something in that neighborhood. There's a gymnasium. Here is classrooms. There is classrooms. This serves as a lobby to the gym, and it's also the cafeteria. And kitchen and stuff. And over there is for offices. And Andrew, keep a watch on time. I think this runs till 5:30, and I want to stop at 5. We're very close to that, 5:15. But here you can see the way that school laid out. Well, if they don't need one of those classroom pods this year, don't build it. We've also got some financing people that say we'll finance them for the schools. They just lease them, lease to own. They'll also do churches too, so if you need some church financing. There's one building, two buildings, three. And here's another module. Now, somebody was talking about doing a gymnasium, a workout center. This one's down in College Station. This is a spectacular Aggieland Fitness Center. And you can see they've got all of the tools of the trade. Here's a fascinating group. If you remember, we had some hurricanes a while back down in Florida. Well, this Peter Ferdelli built these two domes, and he leases space in them. In fact, one building is leased to First Interstate Bank. And what you see is a bank back in there. And it holds 11 or 12 banks. And why would you build a bank for in there? The reason they did is because every time they'd have a hurricane, they'd lose banks. This way, they can hook onto that portable bank and drive it up there and put it in the parking lot, and they're back in business the next day. And so what they did is they leased this space. And you can see this thing's built to handle anything comes at it. It's actually overbuilt. You can see this massive door here and then a roll-up door on the other side of it. But what they're doing is taking no chances. They want to be ready, and they said, set up this way, we have a tornado, we have a hurricane, whatever, we can have a bank there for hundreds of miles in just a matter of a few hours. This picture I show because it's kind of a fun little story. This is the Animal Rescue League. It's in, probably says, West Palm Beach, Florida. The last hurricane that hit it kind of took the sign apart. This tore up a bunch of trees and stuff. I don't have all of the buildings. There's four buildings in there. The upper floors and the buildings are not used for anything, but they are a complete floor. So what they did is they said, anybody that has a pet that they'd like to drop off, they can drop off the pet during the hurricane event, and two people can stay with the pet. So they'd put the pet downstairs and the two people would go upstairs. They rode out the hurricane, and then the people left. Most of them left the pet. So I figure there was a lot of pets gathered up off the street that day. Here is one that I'm kind of pushing. Haven't done it yet. Andrew went up here. This is Patchogue, New York. Isn't that a gorgeous picture with sun on that? That's a band shell. And the band shell is, he's just finished it and let the air form down. And now they're having a good old-fashioned sing-along there at the band shell. But what I want to do is start putting a door on it. There's the door wide open. There it's partially shut. We shut the door. Now what does that do? That means we don't have to take all the equipment home that night. We're protecting it from vandals. We can use it 365 days of the year. We can practice if it's raining or snowing. Now, it's kind of hard to do a nice performance, but that's the risk they have to take. But I really want to see these built, because instead of building a structure that's good for 3 or 4 days, we build a structure that's good for the entire year. Here's kind of a cute little dome over in Colorado. Here's another cute little dome. This actually is a company that handles helicopters over in Taiwan. And you see the dome behind it. That's the dome behind it's tiled. This one's a gold one. And another one in Colorado. This is our office in Italy. You're going to see it. The front dome there, the rainbow's impinging onto, has been coated with 4 different coatings so far, each one a trial. The red one is concrete. The white one's bare fabric. Again, we try all of this stuff. Now, this is a shop at my place. You'll all get a chance to walk in the shop and see it. But this has our new laterally movable hangar door. Oh, it's a little door because we didn't need to park an airplane in it. But the door weighs 3 ton, and you'll be able to walk into that and see how it works. We see it as hangars, as airplane hangars. We've got them designed for giant ones as well as little ones. This guy, kind of a little bit of an ugly duck in this picture. The picture that I saw right after Hurricane Katrina hit, this is a shelter for the people at the DuPont chemical facility at Delisle. This had the main eye of Katrina go right over the top of it. 24 people spent the night in there because they had promised the town that they would not run, that they would be there the next morning and make sure that the chemicals weren't running around in the streets and all of that stuff. The guy that was ahead of this said the next morning we looked out, walked around, there was $100 million damage to their plant, and the dome had been freshly washed. This is kind of a cute little dome here. This dome is at Ivan's. It's kind of a, I think it says it's an institute of fitness. You're seeing the top floor. The 2 floors down open into the bottom. There's a cliff there, and we just built the dome right up against the cliff. So you can walk out on the top floor, you can walk out on the bottom floor. Oh, there's all kinds of fantasy things. This is a picture of a swimming pool. So far, I've only built 1 pool enclosure. And I've asked myself, why? Now, they've got some in Europe in thin shells. But a swimming pool and a monolithic dome are just upside down each other. And so you get the water off the swimming pool, can't possibly hurt the dome, which it destroys conventional buildings. But that's just showing one thing. We'll build a bunch of them. Our prices are too much better, and our energy efficiencies are just too much. People are going to have to start buying them. You recognize that one? It's an artist's drawing. You notice the little tiny windows? The windows are 5 inches deep, 1 dimension. What is that for? That's a jail. It's a prison. We're going to see those too. I went after them early on, and then my wife said, you don't want your domes best known for jails. We quit looking at them for jails. But the pressure is on to build jails, and we will be building some. Now, here's some fun stuff that this is one that Lee Gray drew up for me for the new Salvador Dali Museum in Florida. They said, we want something really far out that looks like Salvador Dali. When Lee got through with that thing, well, they kind of repented of having him do it. See, these are glass towers over on each side, and this is a glass roof over that, and that's the monolithic dome with tile on it to create that Nautilus pattern. It looks like something Salvador Dali would be really at home in. Airplane hangars, we haven't built any, but this little guy you're going to see tomorrow. This is Pegasus. It's a starship sitting down on the ground. It's a beautiful little building. Now, why don't you go look at it? The guy that built it, he had the vision, but he just didn't have the ability to make it work. His idea of fast food is sometime in the first hour, or maybe the second. This is inside of it. Yeah, 1 hour just doesn't cut it for most people. Andrew, where are these?
The Army National Training Center in Marshall.
Looks like the military has finally caught on that this is a good building to build. And you've got two or three of them down there. I don't know whether I have pictures for more on here, but this is a picture inside of it. And then a plain dome is a real echo chamber. And this is one really, really good way of knocking down the sound and not screwing up the thermal battery. So you can see, you hang those and they work. It works very, very well. This is a catfish restaurant. Now, some of the pictures I've shown you today were not built by me. A lot of them were built by Andrew, some were by my other brother, Barry. I show you these as examples. These are my photographs. I don't mind you use them. Just acknowledge monolithic.com when you do so. RibTech. RibTech was a company that built two or three domes, and instead of using rebar in them, they used RibTech fibers. And then last year, the year before, Andrew and his company went up and put metal cladding on it to make it last longer, the roof. This is the visitor center at my place. You're going to see the visitor center. And guess what? Makes a great little wedding chapel. You just have to ask Gary or Nan. Pretty fancy. This will inflate. Doesn't look like it'll inflate, but it'll inflate. And this was inflated. Did you build this?
Yes.
Did you? You see it's 39 foot diameter and 39 foot high. In Pocahontas, it says Richland, but it's not. It's in Pocahontas, Mississippi. To knock the sound down, they put flags in it. And then you can go by tomorrow's round. Ah, here's my Aggie Footless. It's not with the rest of my pictures. This is one of the real early dome churches that I built. It's quite interesting. We built this, and using the thermal dynamics of the domes, that is a 3,000 seat sanctuary. It's 190 foot across. They used 20 ton of air conditioning to keep that building cool. For the first 12 years, they used the building. And then they called me one day and they said, David, this thing's getting too hot. I said, what are you doing? Well, instead of an hour and a half meeting three times a day on Sunday, we went to a 12-hour meeting 5 days in the week. Whoa, you overpowered the thermodynamics of the shell. We had to add another 40 ton of air conditioning to it. But it's still better than anything else. This is church in the dome, in a circle. The center stage rotates, so the pastor standing there talking gets to look at everybody every 15 minutes. Big, beautiful facility. Chicago. I don't have a picture of the actual domes. Well, maybe I do. That looks much like the artist rendering, but I guess it is real. And this is inside of it. Another one in Arizona, inside of it. This is a little church in Cortland, Ohio. Here you can see the ceramic tile on this building. This has been totally tiled. We expect they need to wash it once in a while, but I have no idea how long it'll take for the weather to bother that tile. It'll be a long, long time. I had some of the attendees asking me about glasswork with the domes. This dome doesn't look very big, but this is a 160 foot diameter dome. And that's a climbing tower made out of glass. And you can take the stairway or you can take the climbing tower and you go up and then this globe is up above it. Just feel goods, looks. No, they're not. They're just looks. Just feel goods. Nothing to do with. They wanted them on there. In fact, you got about a foot between them and the building. This is the balance of that facility. That glass climbing tower comes out of this dome right here. There's two more domes, total of six domes. One of the domes has a bowling alley in it. One of them has two NBA basketball courts in it. One has a nightclub and a bistro for the young adults and a children's church. The big church is up there. About half of the big church is a 3,500-seat sanctuary. The long-term drawings have a 10,000-seat sanctuary on it. Wouldn't it be fun to build this? I'm looking forward to doing it. This is one that came in from Kazakhstan. It'll be a mosque. And here's Whaley Methodist inside. St. Agnes Baptist Church, I think somebody said they may be going to church in that one. That's in Houston. And this is a St. Joseph's Catholic Church that we're building right now over in Commerce. We just finished the dome. They're starting to do the fit out on it. That's my crew. We're using more of the block walls. We call them castle walls. We're using more of those all the time. They look more natural. Here's a school of metaphysics. And I think this may be the last one. This is a church we built down there in Indonesia. This is an eco shell. It's 30 foot in diameter. It's fantastic. We built a church and a medical clinic and a school all there at the same time. And then here's this 71 houses. And they're all eco shells. I don't think you can see all of them, but you can see what it looks like. Land is very, very precious.
That's in Indonesia, too. I don't mean this one.
This one, no, that's in Ogden.
Yeah, but one before that was in Indonesia.
Yes, that's in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
This is showing tiling the big church in Alabama. We ran a sled on wheels up there, and then we tiled it. Here's a smaller building tiled. And here's a building tiled. This is in Taichung, Taiwan. And we used smaller tile on it. Here's a water tank. Dr. Wilson talked about a water tank. He helped design, and he really has a love for water tanks. I like the water tanks too, but I don't like the customers. They're usually small cities. Kind of hard to get along with. There's my rendering of an oil tank. And we just finished the engineering for a 10 million gallon oil tank. And we expect to be building some of them. This is one that Barry built this last year. That dome right there is 300 and some feet in diameter and 170 feet tall. And that's in Iowa. Is it Clinton? I think it's in Clinton, Iowa. Now, they won't let you go on the property to take a picture of it, but you can see that you don't have to get on the property. You can take it from five blocks away. It holds 1,000 carloads of coal, rail carloads of coal. Now, the Clinton people are talking to us about a swimming pool cover now, and they said, we won't be the first. It looks good to us. Wow, I don't know how I got College Station back in there. This is showing drapes in my shop. You'll get to see them tomorrow. And they're just to knock the sound down. You have to do something about the sound. See, this one has a hung ceiling. This one has some drapes around the perimeter. When I say drapes, they're panels. Those are 4x8 panels. I wanted to hang four rows of them. We got two rows up, and the superintendent called me. He says, don't put any more up. I said, what's the matter? He says, the coach is about to kill me because he wants the sound bounce. He figures it really helps the kids playing. And the band teacher wants the other two because he thinks it'll make them sound better with the band. And he says, I got him fighting, so it must be just right. Isn't that sad? Okay, I think we're, now you've seen these. These are the little building. You're going to see them down there. What do you want to see first? The floor
that,
plan?
That will be fine for
okay. Why don't you come up here, and when you're ready for the next one, I'll try it with this, and if it doesn't work, I'll hand move it ahead.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Come on in.
Well, my subject today is from dream to dome, but I've added also a third part, and that's thinking different. And boy, I tell you, through my life, I've always been one of those people that thought different than everybody else. Through school, I was the one that always got set in the corner. So I think that right there when I was in elementary, junior high school, that probably set my thinking for circles. And as I went on through life, I was one of those people that I got a college education and it just didn't seem to work out for me. And I decided, you know, I'm going to create something for myself. So I went out, I created a hobby, and I ended up, because a doctor gave me a snake, I ended up gathering snakes and crocodiles. And I ended up, I spent 21 years on the road traveling the nation and world lecturing on exotic venomous snakes and crocodilians. Well, it gave me a chance to look at a lot of different things. And growing up a little ranch kid in Montana, you know, I definitely wasn't worldly. And back in 1980, I was up in, I believe, Wisconsin or Illinois or somewhere. I'm driving along with a big horse show trailer full of venomous snakes and crocs. And all of a sudden, I saw a big water tank setting off on the side of the road. First time I'd ever seen a million-gallon water tank. And all of a sudden, I had this dream, and probably to most of you would think it would be a nightmare, but I dreamed that, wow, I could turn that into the most fabulous home. That was back in 1980. And I'd be driving down the road, and for months and months and months, I designed the inside of this water tank and everything else, and then I got to thinking, you know what, this is a process. What's going to happen when that gets covered up with snow or whatever? It might cave in. So I started putting the round to the top of it. And then over a period of 6 years, I developed this dream that, you know what, I'm going to pile up this great big mound of dirt, and I'm going to shape it to the roundness, the walls and everything, and I'm going to cover it up with plastic sheet. I'm going to pour some concrete on top of it, rebar. I'm going to put some spray foam on it and cover that up. And then I'll go in and dig it out, and I'll have a dome. I mean, this was something that I just had in my mind. It popped in my mind, and it became so, so strong. And then I was lecturing up in southern Idaho, in actually a town of Emmett, Idaho, which is not too far out of Boise. And I came up over the hill from Boise, and I saw these five great big white mushrooms out in this little town. I thought, what in the heck is that? And by the time I found my way through town to the address, it turned out it was the high school that I was going to be lecturing at. And it was my first experience with a dome. And it's 280-foot diameter domes and, what, 360s? Well, I backed my trailer up to the gymnasium dome, one of the 180-footers, and I was so enthralled with this. I walked up to it, and I said to myself, what the hell is this thing made out of? And I literally went up and knocked on it and patting it and everything before I ever went in the building. And I will never forget that day. That was back in 1986, and they had just opened that school. And the principal of that school, Dwayne Horning, was so excited. It was one of those days I was only doing a couple of lectures, so I had time. He showed me through this school, and when I walked into school, I couldn't even tell that I was in a dome. There was actually no windows in this thing, but it was just drop-dead gorgeous. And we talked for a long time. The kids were excited about it and things like that. And I did my program, and he said, you know, the people that built this dome for us told us that we would pay for this building in about 15 years in heat savings. Well, it turned on that in my lecturing years, I've been back to that school 4 different times, and they paid for that in 12 years, I believe. I think that's what Dwayne told me. I haven't been back since then, and I think he's left now. But it really was the setting for my dream. And when I left that school, Dwayne told me, he said, you live pretty close to here. And he says, you get over in this part of the country once in a while. He says, if you get over close to Idaho Falls, you need to go and talk to these people. And he gave me the phone number, the address, and everything else for David South. And I don't think David remembers me probably back then, but it set something in stone for me that I could see this. Well, I had it embedded in my mind, and all of a sudden, you know, David sat down, and the first thing that he did, and that was back in 86, he said, you know, you can do whatever you want to with these things. They're really great, you know. So I embedded that in my mind, and I went on, and I started designing it in my mind. And then in 2000, they came out with this book. I think I bought it in like 2001. And I had already been to the monolithic site in Idaho Falls 2 or 3 times over the years. And the best thing I ever did was to buy this book. And if nothing else, before you guys leave here, and none of the monolithic people even knew what I was talking about other than just a dream today. So this is a sales thing on my part. You guys need to read this. It's one of the most sensible things you will ever read. When I read this, I thought, David South is so smart. So I embedded this in my mind, and I started thinking, you know what, I'm going to have a big fat boomerang for house when I can retire. And then I went on, I met my wife-to-be, and probably from day one I told her, says, you know what, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to live in a dome home. Oh, my God. She couldn't see that. No way could she see that. You know, I says, you know, and I'm going to bury it back in the side of a hill and everything. She said, I'm not a mole. I said, well, I'm going to put it back in the hillside or whatever. And I said, you know, I want part of it sticking out. It's not like I'm burying it underground. She refused to do that. But all I did was talk about this dome, this big fat boomerang and things like that. I said, and when I met her in Southern California when I was on my lecturing tour. And so things went on, and I said, I'll never make a Californian. We got to get out of here. I just can't stay. And I was probably driving her nuts with my thinking different. So for about 5 years in a row, I was very, very well traveled, and Syl had traveled some. So our vacations every year, we would take and go looking for a piece of land that we could just put this dream house of mine on. And after, I think, 4 years or 5 years, we found a 10-acre piece in central Colorado. In fact, it's 6 miles from the dead center. Thing of it is, it's set at 10,000 feet in elevation. And I said, we're going to retire then. We both fell in love with the area, and that's been about 14 years ago. But when we saw this piece of property, you came up off a little hill. It's only about 40 foot high, and it's just got a view of all the 14,000 foot peaks that are only like a couple of miles from us. Just a gorgeous piece of property. So I told the realtor, I said, we'll buy it. He said, okay. He said, and Syl was out in a little natural clearing, you know, no trees, but it's rimmed by trees. And she was standing there, and I said, I told the realtor, you know, that we'd buy. And he says, well, I guess we need to go talk to your banker. And I said, oh, I don't think so. I'll write you a check for it. Well, by the time we got back to where Syl was, she finally had seen what I saw. And she said, boy, wouldn't this be a beautiful place to build a home? I said, yeah, we're going to. She said, I don't think we can afford it. And this was about the time we got married. I said, well, I already bought it. So I had the boomerang in mind, and we went through, and we just kept working and got to dreaming and working on our plans. We put the house together over the last several years. And then last year, Well, actually, over the years, I'd gone in, I bought a dozer, did all the dirt work, put the roads in, the building pads, and we're paying for everything as it went. And then last year, we came to our first monolithic conference. And while we were here, we brought the plans that we had hand-drawn, and we brought them, and we sat down with Gary and David and another one of their designers. And we sat there and said, we want to build this house. We gave them the square footages and the whole works. And we wrote them a check for the plans, and we left, went home with our dream. And about probably a month later, they called us back and said that house won't fit on your piece of property. This is where it comes to when you guys have a dream, you have to see something in your mind and really see it strong. Well, where we live, there are a lot of bristlecone pine trees, and they're the oldest living thing on earth. And we did not want to take them down. Our designer told us, well, if you build this as a boomerang, you're going to have to take them down. I said, nope. The houses or the trees are not coming down. The house has to fit between them. So we ended up folding the house up. And the reason we did is there's a bristlecone pine right there. And this is where the garage goes out. There's one right here. There's one right here. There's one here. One here. There's one here. And there's one there. It's amazing, but those trees set the standard for our house. And actually, before we'd even bought that property and I saw it, I stepped it off because I knew what I wanted just in my mind after so many years, and it fit. And we had about 97 feet to work with between the trees, and it is 90 feet from here to the garage door. So this house is designed to fit in the trees. Well, it was kind of interesting because when we came, you know, this, like I say, this has been such a strong dream for me. And I got Sylvia to really buy into this and all that. And I said, you know what, let me do the dirt work. You know, I'm going to put up another 30-foot dome for a shop so I can go out there and play and get out of her hair. She doesn't have to get out of my hair, so we don't have to worry about that. I'll go the other direction through the snow. But we came up with this plan, and Sylvia designed the inside of it. And then we just fine-tuned it, and the architect moved some things around a little bit so that they would fit. And it's a dream coming true for us. It really is. When we came down here last year, really excited. It's taken years to get Syl excited about building a dome. And I'm going to tell you that when we went down to the dome park, I saw her face just drop. I said, don't look at that. You've got to have a dream. Don't let that affect your dream, because people will always want to take away your dream. You have to see it so strong that nobody can talk you out of it. She said, well, it looks like a field of mushrooms. And I said, yeah, but you ever picked a mushroom and turned around and looked inside? They're really, really neat. You know, and I saw this face for that 100 yards driving into the monolithic site, and I saw her face just come wide open into a smile. When you guys go down here tomorrow, there's going to be a little visitor's dome on the right. It's going to look like a little mushroom sitting there, but when you walk in there, you are going to see something like you wouldn't believe. You're going to see the roominess, the comfortness of it. And we're thinking, oh my God, we could live in a 20-footer and save a lot of money. You know, it's not going to happen because this dome right here, this dome is a 47-foot diameter dome across here, and these are 236s. It's probably a 20 foot's a little bit less than what we want as our dream home. But when you guys come into these domes, if you've never been in a dome, come in there with an open mind and build your dream on the inside. I think you'll be surprised. When Syl and I first, you know, were thinking about domes, we really wanted to put a loft in this dome, and that loft would have been open from about this point all through this area. This is a sunken living room. It's sunken 3 feet with a 15-foot wide by 12-foot high window that just got a view out across the lake to the mountains like you just wouldn't believe. But when you look at that, you know, like I say, don't let anybody take that dream away. But it's been a real experience for Syl and I to come. But with that loft, we just had this in our mind. This house is built around our Indian Western art, and we collect the real stuff. And we just had this dream of putting 2 bedrooms upstairs and a bathroom and a railing where we could hang our, you know, our old Navajo blankets and things like that. And then one day about 3 years ago, we had both had a long, hard day. We were going upstairs, you know, in our California home, and we stopped right in the middle of the stairs, both of us at the same time, turned around and looked at each other and said, "What in the heck are we thinking?" And at that moment, that loft went away. But something came back to me at the same time. When that loft went away, it came back to the Dome Living book that I had spent so much time reading. And David says in there, you know, you think about your older years. If this is going to be your final home or your retirement home, or if you're thinking towards the future, why would you want stairs in your home? And just about every aspect of this home has rung back in one way or another back to this Dome Living book. The efficiency of it, the durability of it. You know, we don't measure snow in inches up there. We measure it in feet. You know, our spring and summer put together aren't near as long as our winter. We have 2 seasons. We have winter and the 4th of July. We've woke up to 6 to 8 inches of snow on the 4th of July. So we think about what we have, something that's durable and lasting. And like I say, right now, the dream is coming true. I've got most of the dirt work done. I bought a dozer a few years ago, and that got me in big trouble because I'm one of these guys, like I said, I think different. I went out and bought a D4 cat. I was out on my lecture tour. I wasn't going to be home for a few months, and I didn't tell my wife. Guys, don't ever do that. You'll come home, and you'll be your only friend. But it worked out. It smoothed out after a while, you know. So after I did all the dirt work at this place, we also had a big ranch in Montana. And 3 years ago, we sold the Montana ranch. We sold Syl's California home. And we bought a nice big home in Fairplay, Colorado, about 600 people, a place to live while we build this dream home. And hopefully, if everything goes to schedule, and part of that's going to be the weather just to get started, we'll be in this home in November. There's another picture. Can you click that up from here, David? You can sit and look at a floor plan. I've seen this in my mind, but I wanted you to see what the outside of the house looked like. And with that, you can imagine where the trees are. It's a lot different. I had to laugh at Sylvia. She, you know, even though we retired a couple of years ago, she's been working part-time in a little bakery up in Fairplay, and she came home one day. She was just in tears. I said, "What's the matter, honey?" She said, "I don't want to live in an ugly home." And I said, "Who told you it was ugly?" Well, she said, "My boss told me that we need to live in a log home." I said, "Okay, let's take a drive." So where we live is old mining countries, 1800s, early 1900s. So we went for a drive. I didn't tell her where we was going. I said, "Look at this old log cabin. It's about 80 years old. There was about this much of a pile of logs left of it." I said, "There's one of the reasons it's not ugly. This will be here for hundreds of years past, hopefully past when we're gone. And I said, I want you to take a look at this house, because when we bought the property, I saw it and she couldn't. One of those bristlecone pine trees is right here. The other one is on the other side of the garage. And when you drive up the hill, the only thing you see is that garage door right there. You can't even see the rest of the house. Then we have a circle drive that comes around here and a sidewalk that comes up at an angle like this. And when you come up that sidewalk, you can't see most of this dome because this bristlecone pine tree. You can't see this dome because this tree, so all you see is the entrance of the home. From down on the road, the only thing you will ever see, and it's just for an area about the length of this room, you can look up and see the picture window. So the public will barely know it's there. So it's our dream, and thank you to Monolithic. You guys are just the greatest. If you guys, whether you build a dome or whatever, you won't find a better company. I think one of the things that's really impressed me about Monolithic is they're here to save you money. There's a lot of people out there will do everything they can to take your money. But Monolithic is here to save you money. And I really believe that it's going to be the best thing we ever did. I really do. We're looking forward. And Monolithic will have our name, our address. If anybody ever wants to look us up, we want you to do that. Our house is an open door to everybody. And I would like to personally say thank you to David and Gary.
Thank you.
You guys are making a 30-year dream come true for me. Thank you.
Well, I didn't pay Keith for that endorsement, but I want to tell you that that story, it happens again and again. People work on it, think about it, make it happen. It takes a long time. It takes a long, long time. When I started this sleigh ride, I had some fantastic ideas about what's going to happen. I still haven't lost the dream. I've got a few pieces that I don't share much with. But we're going to make a difference, and all of you will make a difference, and I'm inviting you to do that. Now, we have a lady here that's looking at building a high-rise dome in Dallas for people that need help, affordable stuff, but she's got to be able to make it pay. It has to. If it doesn't pay, it won't work. And my people that are here from other places, like from Kenya and Congo and these other places, they have to make it pay, but you can make it pay by doing this stuff. Now, right now, the real estate market's kind of fallen in a hole. A lot of people are in trouble, but it'll work out. It will work out. And if you're building something that will last more than one generation, you know, if you look over in Europe, those guys build houses that last for quite a few hundred years, but they've had huge maintenance for them. They got a lot of wood in them. Let's build them out of concrete, and then we don't have to worry about it.